Certainly appreciate the good humble prayer and ask a continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you. The subject that's on my mind, the Lord being my helper and it being of the Lord, is on the subject of remembrance or remembering God. You know, that's a wonderful thing that we have, our own personal memory that we have. You know, I mentioned to you a while ago that Brother David recently lost his father and preached his father's funeral just last week. And so when we lose a loved one like that, while we'll miss them and not having them with us, it's wonderful to have the memory that we have of times we've had with them, we spent with them, things we can remember from our own experience and relationship with them that'll give us comfort even whenever they're gone and we don't have them anymore. So memory is a good thing, and the scripture has a lot to talk about remembrance and remembering God and bringing to our mind. But one thing is, I think you'll all agree with, you can't remember anything that you don't already know. But the good thing about remembrance is by continually calling those things that you know up in your mind increases your knowledge and your ability to utilize those things. So even things that you have in your mind, if you don't call them up and remember them from time to time, eventually they just become faint, very faint in your mind. And so it's critical to think about the things that of the Lord that we call up in our minds to remember Him. And I'm going to read as my text this morning, and this is an unusual text, and I can't recall any time anybody ever particularly preached on these two verses in 1 Corinthians, because they are two verses that we use every time we have communion. But I want us to see that in these two verses, and these two verses have to do when we do the communion and we do the bread and the wine, that these two scriptures have a significant reference to remembrance of the Lord. As a matter of fact, most churches have a communion table, and on the front of the communion table, they'll either have "in remembrance of me," or "this do in remembrance of me." And that's why we have and do communion. We do it to remember or bring forth in our minds the things that God has done for us through the person of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now I want to read these two scriptures, and I particularly want to pull out for our minds the part that says remembrance of me. These two scriptures are found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. And it says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it," that is, he brake the bread, "and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In other words, calling forth from your mind something you already know, remembering what the bread represents and what the body of Jesus Christ did on the sacrifice of the cross to pay for our sins. And then in verse 25 it says, "And after the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And what he's talking about there is the wine, which represents the blood of Jesus, calling to our minds what we were cleansed from our sins by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now we want to take a look at some scriptures this morning that call to our minds the importance of memory. Now, I'm going to say this about Macedonia Church. I've been attending here regularly now for nearly 6 years, and through many of the years of Elder Will Martin, and in the last 8 or 9 months under David Guthrie. And the Lord has blessed the Macedonia Church with good, sound preaching through both of those good elders. And I've heard many good sermons from both of them by being here. And so we're blessed by having a minister that comes before us regularly, takes a word from the scripture and expounds it and fills our mind with the things of God, and we log them into our mind that we might go the next week and throughout the rest of our lives remembering those things that were preached and said. Those are important to us as a child of God. But you know, just because you hear something doesn't always mean that you heard it. My wife accuses me all the time of hearing. She would tell me something and I wouldn't hear it. Sometimes she'll tell me something and I said, "I didn't know that." She'll say, "Well, I told you." Well, I really honestly don't remember her telling me. She probably did, but I know I'm sometimes guilty. Sometimes she'll say something to me and I can hear her saying something, but if I'm not focused or paying attention to what she says, I don't really hear what she said. And sometimes she'll say something and I say, "What did you say?" And she just said it. I heard it, but I didn't hear it. To hear something and to remember something, we must be focused on it. The same thing with reading. I don't know whether you have had this experience. I have. You ever been reading something and you start out interested in what it says and you keep reading, and the first thing you realize is, "What did I just read?" In other words, you're reading, you're calling the words, but you're not focused on what it's saying. Therefore, you're not really hearing what you're reading. So it's important when we're listening to a preacher preach is that we focus our hearts and our minds on what's being said, that we might learn something and put it into our hearts and minds that we might utilize it in a later opportunity and remember it in our lives. It might be something we can use in a trial or trouble or tribulation that we may need from time to time in our lives. It's good to remember these things and keep them in our minds. And when we're reading the Word of God or whether we're listening to someone preach, we must focus our minds upon the message, whether we're reading it or whether we're hearing it, in order to log it into our minds. I can remember years ago, before I was ever a Primitive Baptist, and that was 45 years ago this July, that me and my wife joined the church. But I can remember the Sovereign Grace preacher that we had saying this: it's generally proven that a person has to hear something 17 times before you really get it, before you really learn it. 17 times, that he said that's been studied and proven. Generally, you have to hear something that often really to learn it or get it into your mind that you might remember it. So remembrance of God is an important subject and an important thing for us to keep in our minds as we just saw, even in the communion, we do it in remembrance of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. We want to begin over here in the book of Isaiah, and we want to take a scripture here that speaks makes mention of the memory. It tells us that in this particular portion of scripture, Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 62, that we as God's children are to make mention of the Lord. Make mention of Him means to be able to, as one scripture tells us, be ready and able at any time to give a reason for the hope that is within you. That's a good thing to do. That's a good thing. If somebody asks you, why do you have a hope in Jesus Christ? Why do you have a hope that you're going to heaven when you die? You ought to be ready always to give a reason for the hope that's within you. You ought to be ready to make mention of the Lord, as it calls for here in chapter 62 of the book of Isaiah. In this chapter, verse 6 of 62, it says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night, that ye that make mention of the Lord keep not silence. So we need to be ready and able to always speak good things of the Lord. Bring things to our mind about Jesus. Bring things in our discussion with others about what the Lord has done for us. This is a good chapter to look at concerning those things. Let's just begin at the very first of it. For it says, for Zion's sake, verse 1 of chapter 62, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Now, when we think of righteousness, we think of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross. And it says in the book of Corinthians that He went to the cross, that on the cross the just died for the unjust, that through His sacrifice we might become the righteousness of God through Him, because He took our sins upon the cross. And that righteousness, which is spoken of here in the book of Isaiah, is that righteousness not of our own selves, not our own righteousness, not righteousness from an alien sinner, but righteousness that comes through to a born again child of God, because God lives within him. And because he has God within him, he displays and exemplifies the righteousness of God, which is imputed unto every single one of God's children that are born of His Spirit. And when we have received that Spirit and we exemplify and have that righteousness that's within us, it comes forth in our daily lives to others, as we exemplify and show unto others that we are the children of God by the lives that we live in the righteousness that is of God. He says that I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth in brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. There's a scripture that says this, is. He said, Thy word, O Lord, and this is God's word, and we need to read it and study it and learn it. And you need to teach your children to read the word, to memorize the word. I can remember hearing a preacher say one time, he told his son, he said, Son, I'm going to teach you the letter of the word. And when I teach you the letter of it, if God ever gives you the spirit of it, you'll have yourself a gold mine. We need to read God's word. We need to study God's word. We need to make it a part of our hearts and our minds so that we can remember and call it forth in times of trouble when we'll need the things that it says. We need to have those things in our minds. We need to teach our children to read and memorize and study scripture that they can recall it from their minds and remember the things that'll get them by whenever they need them in the trials and troubles and tribulations of life. He says, as a lamp that burneth. There's a scripture that said, Thy word is a light, is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. Yes, God's word indeed is a light. It illuminates our way, and if we have it in our minds that we can remember it, it is a gold mine unto us as we travel along here in life. Now, these are not things that will gain you a home in heaven. Jesus did that for you on the tree of the cross. He paid the sin debt that was necessary to justify you before a just and holy God. But these things are necessary to get you through this life that you live here in this world until such time as you go home to be with the Lord in heaven. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. I will not rest until thy righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And then in verse 6, as I've already read, he set a watchman over the walls of Jerusalem that will never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand. I like what that scripture says. You remember just a few Sundays ago when Elder Guthrie was preaching to us, he mentioned about the heart, how it leans to the right, and the things of God are always spoken of on the right. You know, the Lord is right this very moment seated at the right hand of the throne of God at the end of time when God separates his people. He separates his people on the right, and it's those that are not his people on the left. It's always on the right, and here he's speaking of that. He says on the right hand of God. So it's always good to lean to the right and lean to the right in the things of God. And God is seated. Jesus is seated there right now on the right hand of the throne of God. Make mention, he says, of the Lord. Keep not silence. Always be ready from what you learn from the scriptures, ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. Now, we want to take a look at several scriptures that emphasize for us the importance of remembering. And also, I want you to remember this, what I said. You can't remember something you do not already know. So in order to call call to your mind in remembrance of the things of God, you must read God's Word. You must study God's Word. You must listen to the preaching when the preacher is preaching to you. And it's good. And I try to do this. I go back after I've heard Brother David preach. I go back and I listen to it again. And I find lots of times I catch things when I listen again that I didn't catch when I listened the first time. That's human nature. We don't catch everything. We miss things. Our minds are deflected away for a moment and we miss something. So it's always good. That's one good thing about Macedonia Church. They record the sermons here and they post them sometimes during the week after the service. So we can go back and listen to those again and again, put into our minds the remembrance of the things that we should have learned from that scripture, from that preaching, from that sermon. And by that, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's as the scripture says, it's here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You don't just learn it all in one sermon. You don't learn it all in one session. And you don't learn it all in one lifetime. And even to the end of your life, you're continually learning and adding to your mind the things that you need to remember about God and what He has done for us in His wondrous works. And now we want to turn over here to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we want to see a scripture that tells us the Apostle Paul here writing to the church at Corinth, and he says that we ought to remember the ways which be in Christ. And now, you know, when we become followers of Jesus Christ, we're followers of Him as our Messiah. We're followers of Him as our Savior. We're followers of Him and the life that He lived. So we ought to study His life. And here, he mentions here, remembrance of the things which be in Christ. Remembering these things is important to us. Remembering the things of God. Remembering the ways of Christ. Remembering I remember somebody, it came out that people had this saying going around, before you do anything, ask the question, what would Christ do? And that's a good thing to consider before you make any decision, before you do anything. Think of it through what Christ would do if you got an answer from Him. So following and remembering the things which be in Christ, we'll find in the book of Corinthians chapter 4, it says this in verse 17. He says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ." Now Paul says, I'm sending to you a preacher. His name is Timotheus. And when he speaks to you, he will bring you into remembrance of my ways. Not my ways as if in the Apostle Paul's ways, but as the ways that are the Apostle Paul's that be in Christ. Apostle Paul said this one time, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow him as the person. Don't follow him as him, because he was like all the rest of us. He was a sinner saved by grace. But follow him as he followed Christ. And he speaks here of this Timotheus. He says, I'm sending to him to you. He is my beloved son. He is faithful in the Lord and faithful faithful in the Lord, who will bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That's my purpose. That's my ministry. Everywhere I go, I'm preaching and teaching you my ways, which be in Christ. Follow me as I am a follower of Christ and a follower in the ways of Jesus Christ, remembering those things which be in Christ. Now what things, he says, for this cause. Let's go back and read some of these things that he said before he introduced to them Timotheus, who he was sending to them. Let's begin back there at verse 9. He says, "For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it was appointed to death, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. We are honorable, but ye are despised. Even unto the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Now when he said that word, "I have begotten you through the gospel," he is not talking about being born again or regenerated through the gospel. That's not what he's talking about. But he is talking about begotten unto the truth as it is in Christ by the preaching of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, getting your mind in correspondent with what God's word teaches about how salvation is of the Lord, and it's not based upon what you do. It's based upon what God does for you, and after God accomplishes that, then you have the wherewithal to be a follower of Him. That's what He means by He has begotten you through the gospel. God gave you life. Now that you have life, let me tell you about the eternal life that God has gave you and given you, and how you got it. That's being begotten by the gospel. "Whereunto I beseech you, be ye followers of me." And then as he then reminds them of this Timotheus that he's sending to them, that he'll bring unto them the remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Indeed, remembrance of the ways of the Lord the ways that be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let's turn over here over to the book of 1 Timothy. And you remember what it is that Timothy is. Timothy was a young preacher. The Apostle Paul was teaching in the ministry and teaching him the things that he should do in his ministry unto the church and the children of God. And he tells Timothy here, one of the things that you should do in your preaching is to put the brethren in remembrance of the things of God. Bring to their minds the things that they've learned. Bring to their minds the things that they've read. Bring to their minds the things that they've studied, that we may all together be in unity in the praise and honor and worship of God for what He has done for us. Yes, indeed. In chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, we'll begin there at the very first of that chapter. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now you see, there would be some, he's saying here, that would come along and would even that would even condemn you, saying you're doing something to cause you to go to hell because of the things that you eat or the things that you do, rather than being thankful to God for His provision of the things that we eat. That's why when we consume every meal, we ought to be thankful to God, because without God, we would not have that food to eat. God is the provider of all good things that we enjoy here upon this earth, and we ought to be thankful unto Him for those things. And He says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And then in verse 16, he speaks of that mind, that remembrance. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereas thou hast attained. So that was the purpose of the ministry. That was the purpose by which Paul told Timothy that he was to go preaching the things of God, calling to the minds of the brethren the things of God, that they may rejoice and honor and worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the things that He has indeed done for us. Yes, remembrance of God spoken of there to the young preacher Timothy, that he might bring to the minds of the brethren their remembrance of the things that they've learned and studied from God's own words. So now we want to turn over to the second epistle of Peter, where we'll see, and this is very critical, this particular reference to bringing something to our minds in the way of remembrance, because this is where so many of God's children in the world today miss their proper worship of God, and that is remembering the things of the truth of God. You know, God said in His Word, said He seeks such to worship Him that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you haven't properly worshiped God unless first of all you have worshiped Him in spirit and in truth. And so many of God's children miss that truth part. They worship God. They do it regularly. They do it every week. They worship Him in a doctrine that is that is false and not true, and they are worshiping him in spirit but not in truth. That's how important the truth as it is in Christ is to our worship and proper worship of him. Now, as old Baptists, we claim that we worship God in truth. Now, what do you mean by truth? You know, that word truth has been bounded around in the scripture. One time, even Pilate asked the question, what is truth? You know, to one person, something is the truth. To another person, it's a lie. To some person, something may be a lie, but the other might think that it's the truth. But what do I mean when I say worshiping the Lord in truth? I think it's simply this, and you may have a different idea and opinion about it, but I think worshiping the Lord in truth is worshiping the Lord in the way the scriptures have taught us to worship him, teaching us that salvation is of the Lord, teaching us that the price of sin was paid for by Christ, and he finished the work of redemption on the tree of the cross. And when he finished the price of redemption on the tree of the cross, it simply means that it was finished. It doesn't leave something for you to do in order to be redeemed. It was finished. It was completed. It was satisfied. God accepted the offering, and he proved his acceptance of the offering when he raised him from the grave and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And so when we worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're worshiping God on the basis that you're saved because you came down the aisle, took the preacher's hand and accepted Jesus, you're not worshiping him in truth, because the price of redemption had been finished before you ever did that. So that's not why you're not worshiping him in truth, if that's what you believe and that's what you base your life upon. You may say, well, I worship him because that I went to the aisle and the preacher took me to the water. He immersed me under the water and he baptized me, and when I came up, then I was a child of God. No, that's not it. That is only the answer of a good conscience toward God, according to what the scripture said. That is only your acknowledgement that you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That didn't bring you salvation. That didn't bring you the new birth. That didn't bring you regeneration. You had that already. It was only those things that when you believe those things is what caused you to be regenerated and born of God, then you're not worshiping God in truth. When you're worshiping God and you recognize that Jesus finished the work of redemption, I had nothing to do with it, that I was dead in trespasses and in sin, and God by his grace reached down and rescued me from that condition. It's like I've said before, and you probably have heard me say it. You can't go to a dead person and tell him to do anything, to help himself. Why? Because he's dead. That makes sense, doesn't it? If I go out to a graveyard, and I go out there, and it's a pretty big graveyard, and I go out there to cut the grass, and I say, well, you know, I think I'll carry me a couple of extra lawnmowers out there with me, and I'll call up a couple of those young fellas in the grave, and if they'll just cooperate, I'll get them to come up here and help me cut the grass, and then after that they can get back in their grave. Well, you'd think I was crazy. You would really think I was crazy to think I could do that. Why can't I do that? Because those in the graveyard are dead. Well, the same thing with a person spiritually. We're born, we're dead in trespasses and in sin. And you can't speak spiritually to a person that's dead in trespasses and in sin. Why? Because the scripture tells me that he won't hear it. The scripture tells me he can't hear it. What has he got to have? He's got to have life. I can't give him life. The preacher can't give him life. Billy Graham can't give him life. What does life come from? Life comes from God. He is the only, let me say it again, God is the only author and giver of life. And what a man dead in trespasses and in sin needs is life. And God must give him life. And then after he has life, then we've got a message for him. The message of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now here in the book of Peter, he speaks of remembrance of the present truth. Now let us begin right at the very first of this chapter. We'll begin at verse 2 and go down to the scripture I want to read that talks about this remembrance. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Add to your faith. What does faith come from? By grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You don't have faith in order to receive the gift of God. You have faith because you have received the gift of eternal life from God. It's a gift from God. It is from God. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let us turn over here to the book of Galatians chapter 5. It says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and he lists ninefold fruits of the Spirit. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's long-suffering, there's gentleness, there's goodness, there's faith. The sixth one is faith. It's a fruit of the Spirit. If it's a fruit of the Spirit, where does it come from? It comes from the Spirit. The fruit of an apple tree is an apple. So if you brought an apple to church this morning to enjoy on the way home, it came from an apple tree, or you wouldn't have it. It came from that bears the fruit of an apple. Faith comes from that bears the fruit of faith, which is the Spirit of God. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Yes, faith is that is from God. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. I never want to get into that condition. Would you to forget that you've been purged from your old sins? Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, is he talking about doing something to make sure you go to heaven? No, he's not. He's not talking about making it sure unto God. God knows whether you're his or whether you're not. It's talking about making it sure unto yourself that you are a child of the living God. That's what he's talking about. Not making it sure to God. God has elected you. God has quickened you. God has saved you. God has redeemed you. You don't need to make it sure to God. He knows all things. God is a God who knows the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure. So all these, you make all these things sure unto yourself, and by doing these ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Now there they are. You can't be called into remembrance of things you don't know. You're calling them into your remembrance, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth, the truth of the finished and completed and final work of Jesus Christ for redemption. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, ever as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that we may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Remembering those things that we've learned before, that we may be followers of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, one other scripture concerning remembrance, and we'll close out this morning. We'll find it over also in the 2 Peter writings here in the beginning of chapter 3, in verse 1 of chapter 3. He said, this second epistle, now this is 2 Peter. He wrote 1 Peter, and this is the second epistle that Peter wrote here to the church. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in the which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You see, we have a pure mind. Why? Because we have Jesus that lives within us. Jesus, the hope of glory. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the one that went to the cross. Jesus, the one that the scripture says was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. We have Jesus within us. And Peter here is telling the church, I'm writing this second epistle to you, beloved. Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. You see, you've studied the holy prophets. You know their words. You know what they say because you put them in your mind. You've read God's word and you know the words of the prophets. And all I'm doing, all Peter's saying is, all I'm doing, I'm writing this epistle to bring these things forth in your mind, what the holy prophets have said. And you wouldn't know these things. You couldn't call them to remembrance if you hadn't read them, if you hadn't studied them, if they hadn't become a part of your life. You little children, remember this. While you're young, while you're just in your young childhood ages, you have a young mind that's developing, a mind that wants to grow. And it's when you're in that condition, when you have that mind, that you can put things in your mind that'll be there for the rest of your life, and you'll nobody will ever be able to take them from you once you memorize them and have them in your mind. I can remember as a child when I went to school, you could carry a Bible to school with you. As a matter of fact, we had assignments to read scripture in the class. And I can remember in the past, as a child, I had to stand up before the class and not read, but to quote the 100th Psalm and the 23rd Psalm. So I had to log it into my mind. And you know, those scriptures are in there from those days of my youth, from memorizing them and standing before the class and reciting the 100th Psalm or the 23rd Psalm. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last time scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Yes, there's always the scoffers. There's always those that will oppose you believing in Christ. You know, it even happens in the day in which we live. And I can remember a time when I never would have thought it would come to pass. I can remember a time when the Vice President of the United States of America, Mike Pence, he spoke of his faith. He spoke of Jesus. He spoke of looking to Jesus in prayer in certain situations. He spoke of hearing God speak to him. And I can remember the news media taking that and criticizing him. He said, well, now when he reads about Jesus and reads in the Bible about Jesus, that's one thing. But when he hears from him, they called him crazy. They called him a kook. But God does answer our prayer. How does he answer it? He answers it through how things turn out in our life. He answers it through his word. He does hear and answer our prayer. Jesus is right this very moment at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding in behalf of those who have gathered themselves here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church to worship him. He's not only with this congregation, he's with Ozias Church this morning, where they're meeting. He's with all the churches throughout the world, wherever they've met in the name of Jesus. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Yes, remembrance of God. That's a very critical and important subject. And even as we have communion, where we call upon the bread and the wine, and we do those things and we have that communion to bring our minds in remembrance of the things of God, we ought to always as we worship and study our Word, the Word of God, call to our minds the things of God by way of remembrance, making mention of the Lord. Be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within you. As someone preaches, remember his ways by which he follows the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember the things that be of God and what he's done for us and what he's done to accomplish salvation to get us to heaven. Remember the present truth of God, how it is through the truth as it is in Christ, that God has saved us through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance of the things you've learned, and continue to read and study and learn more, that as Brother David in the future comes before you as your pastor and preaches the Word of God, you can call to remembrance the things that he'll bring to our hearts and our minds. And through his preaching, he'll clear up the questions that we have from the things that we've learned and studied. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer.